Greetings, everyone, and praise be Jesus Christ. Last week, we were reading from Matthew 18, and Jesus told us what to do when a brother or a sister sins against us. To go to that brother, perhaps take a friend, if needed, even go to the church. Today, we have the follow-up to that chapter, to that advice, to that counsel. We're still in chapter 18, but we hear Peter ask this question, Lord, how many times must I forgive my brother? With all the wrong in the world, with all the injustices and problems, we might imagine that forgiveness is a full-time job. There's always something to forgive. It's an endless work of forgiveness. And so Peter, in asking how many times do I need to forgive, in a certain way, is asking, what's the limit? 3 times? 7 times? And Jesus says, 7 times, 70 times. In other words, it's infinite. Then he tells this parable. And in doing so, Jesus gives instruction. Jesus gives revelation. Jesus shows forth that there is another way, that in living among fallen creatures, in bumping into one another and experiencing sin and injustice, we don't need to be a doormat, but not everyone is a demon either. There is, if you will, a way of life in this fallen world. And it's the way of experiencing and being delivered. Not becoming a doormat, not making everyone else a demon, but we ourselves living a delivered life. And the parable that Jesus tells here makes that clear. This is an extraordinary story. In my Bible, it's the story of the unforgiving servant. In modern day, we might say it's the story of the biggest jerk in the world. One who was forgiven, but turns around and fails to forgive. It's extraordinary in at least 2 ways. Number one, in the amount that we're talking. In the other synoptic gospels, where it's estimated that this man owed 10,000 talents, which would mean 20 years' wages. That's a lot of money. And this man is forgiven that. But then he turns and to the one that owed him a much smaller amount, and scripture scholars think that smaller amount is 100 days' wages. About a third of a year, he refuses to forgive. So we see an extraordinary amount and then an extraordinary arrogance. And a question could be asked, how does one become so blind? Did this man even see what he was doing? Could we become so blind? You see, we have a relationship to this because we ourselves have been forgiven an extraordinary thing. We've been saved by the blood of Christ. And we've been saved in a marvelous way, in an extraordinary, generous way. One drop of Jesus' blood could have saved us. But Jesus spilled out all of his blood. Not just from his heart, but from his back, his head, his hands, his feet. The extraordinary love of God and his mercy we have been loved by. And that has bearing on how we live. It has bearing on how we interact, on how we're called to forgive others. You and I, who have been delivered, are called to live that deliverance, to share that deliverance. There's a verse in the first reading today. It's Sirach 27:30. And it really stood out to me. Wrath and anger are hateful things, yet the sinner hugs them tight. Wrath and anger are hateful things, yet the sinner hugs them tight. When I think of that, I think of, I don't know, hugging like a great big pillow, a great big fat person. Could it be that in hugging wrath and anger, we could become blind? We could be blind to all that is around us. Reminds me of a child who has a boo-boo, a scratch on the hand or on the knee. The healthy child looks at the scratch, perhaps gets a Band-Aid, cries a little while, gets mommy to kiss it. But then the healthy child moves on, realizes that my body is not just a scratch on my hand or my knee. I have the rest of my day. I have the rest of my body. The unhealthy child is the one who gets stuck on that boo-boo. The one who doesn't see the whole body and becomes blind, becomes obsessed, perhaps even possessed. In the parable, we see the big picture, the mercy of God. One who was delivered, and the call to live that deliverance, to see God. A few closing remarks. Number one, forgiveness is not a feeling. It's an act of the will. Forgiveness is the concrete decision to unhook myself from all the wrongs that have been done to me, to unhook myself from the hurts and the wrongs of the other. Forgiveness does not absolve, nor does it abandon. It doesn't make us a doormat or everyone else a demon. Forgiveness delivers. I've been loved by God, and I extend that deliverance in forgiveness, in unhooking myself from all that can hold me bound. I'm delivered by His body for the whole body, the church. There are so many beautiful stories of forgiveness. I'd like to just end with one that I learned this summer. You may have heard of it. It's the story of Andrew Bellotti. Andrew Bellotti is a Philadelphia Philly, a pitcher. In 2009, he was drafted out of high school for the Tampa Rays, an 18-year-old baseball prospect. He started making money, and he bought himself his first car, a red Mustang. And in January of 2010, while visiting his home in San Diego, he was driving with his girlfriend on a wet road, and a car came out from a street. And Andrew, instead of stopping, he went over the yellow line, and he hit another car head on. That car was being driven by a man named David Reed. His son was in the passenger side. David was killed. His son was critically injured. Andrew Bellotti, the 18-year-old, was arrested, charged, found guilty for vehicular manslaughter, and was ready to serve 5 to 7 years in prison. But Mrs. Reed, the widow, the mom of the injured boy, said, "No, I don't want Andrew to go to prison." She chose to forgive. She said, enough harm's been done. Why should he suffer prison? And as a result of that choice to forgive, Andrew Bellotti went on in life, went on in baseball, met a wife, today has a 3-year-old boy. Because Mrs. Reed chose to forgive. My friends, the power of forgiveness is the mightiest power on earth. It can change a life. And the daily choice to forgive, the choice to lead a life of deliverance, to live the gospel, to live the fullness of life, is exactly what Christ Jesus calls us to, that we who have been delivered in a mighty way can live that deliverance, can share that deliverance through forgiving the other, no matter who or what. To the extent that we do this, we are living a Christian life. But to the extent that we choose not to forgive, not to share the deliverance that we ourselves have received, there is a price that will have to be paid. Not only here, but perhaps even for eternity. My friends, let us not fear to forgive. But trusting this parable and the one who spoke it, trusting the mercy and the love of God, let us choose this week to live that deliverance, to know the freedom it gives, and the power of forgiveness to save. God be with you.